Poulenc's three novelettes were played by Pascal Roget. And there's more music by Poulenc in Composer of the Week tomorrow at noon. This is BBC Radio 3. It's 10 o'clock. Our drama on three is a gloriously outspoken restoration comedy. The Provoked Wife by Sir John Vanbrugh has been specially adapted for Radio 3 by Jim Poyser. Vanbrugh, a soldier, dramatist, architect and theatre manager, wrote this comedy in 1697. And while this new version retains its original historical setting and plotline, some of the dialogue has been updated. For a scintillating and cynical look at marriage, love, sex, debauchery and more, here's The Provoked Wife.
What cloying meat is love when matrimony is the source to it? 2 years marriage has debauched my five senses. Everything I see, everything I hear, everything I feel, everything I smell, everything I taste, methinks, has wife in't. No boy was ever so weary of his tutor, nor girl a bib, nor nun of doing penance, nor old maid of being chaste, as I am of being married. For sure, there's a curse entailed in the very name, wife. And my lady, she's a young lady, a fine lady, a witty lady, a virtuous lady. And yet I hate her. There's only one thing on earth I loathe beyond her, and that's fighting. Would my courage amounted to a fraction of my contempt for her, and I'd stand up to her relatives and thrust her out of doors. But marriage has sunk me down to such a low ebb of resolution I dare not draw my sword, even to get rid of her. But here she is.
You dine at home today, Sir John?
Why do you expect me to tell you what I don't know myself?
I thought there was no harm in asking you.
Well, if thinking wrong were an excuse for impertinence, then women might be justified in most things they say and do.
Oh, I'm sorry I've said anything to displease you.
Sorrow for things past is as of little importance to me as my dining at home or dining out ought to be to you.
My inquiry was only that I might have provided what you liked.
Yes, and it's a fair bet you'd have got that wrong. For what I liked yesterday, I don't like today. And what I like today, it's odds I mayn't like tomorrow.
I wish I did but know how I might please you.
Yeah, well, that sort of knowledge is not a wife's talent.
What reason have I given you to treat me as you do of late? It was once otherwise. You married me for love.
And you married me for money. You have your reward. And I have mine.
What has caused this problem, Sir John?
I'll tell you what. A parson.
Why, what's he done?
Married us, of course. Damn his eyes.
Oh. Oh, what am I to do about him? Oh. I was told before I married him that it would be thus. But I thought I had charms enough to govern him. The slovenly dog. Yet he's a fool for doing it, for who knows how far he may provoke me. I mean, I never loved him, but I have so far been true to him. And that, in spite of all the attacks of art and nature upon a poor, weak woman's heart, in favour of a tempting lover. Oh, well, perhaps a good part of what I suffer from, Sir John, may be a judgment upon me. For the cruelty that I show to poor Mr. Constant. Well, I have not yielded to him one inch, but I may, and he would be my lover at the drop of a hat. But let me go no further.
Belinda, good morrow, dear niece.
Good morrow, Auntie.
You look in a pretty mood.
You can say that again.
What's the problem?
Well, what do you think? My husband, of course.
Drown husbands, I say. Particularly if yours is anything to go by.
Sir John is a provoking fellow and no mistake.
Indeed, Auntie. I passed him on the way in and inquired what the time was, and he asked me if I took him for the church clock.
He talks to me like that all the time, Belinda. In fact, he has treated me so barbarously of late that I could almost resolve to play the downright wife and cuckold him.
That would be downright, very downright indeed.
Why, after all, he is the first aggressor, not I.
Ah, but doesn't the Bible say we must turn the other cheek?
Yes, well, no one in the Bible had to live with him, did they?
So, you resolved to cuckold him?
Well, with whom, pray? I have no secret love.
Indeed. 'Tis no secret one Mr. Constant is fond of you.
I don't know what you're talking about. Constant? Titian Fye! Who on earth put such a thing in your head?
Oh, come on, it's obvious. You're always talking about him.
Oh, really? What have I said?
You said you liked him a great deal.
So I do, as a friend.
And you found him 1,000 parts more good-looking than your brute of a husband. I think those were your precise words.
Why are you going to remember every silly thing I say to you?
And you blush when he comes in.
Well, that's merely the uncommon hot spring we're
you
having.
You sigh when he leaves.
It's with relief that he's gone.
Oh, but seriously, Auntie, I own you're in danger.
I own you are right.
Does Constant know how you feel?
No, Belinda. Whatever you may have observed, I have dissembled so well as to keep him ignorant.
You should lead him on, then, if only for the pleasure of jilting him.
Is there pleasure in that?
Too right! I'm fully convinced no man has half the pleasure in gallanting a mistress as a woman has in jilting a gallant.
I'll think about it.
How do I look this morning, Claudette?
Ah, à mon avis, Madame Fanciful, your ladyship never looked so well in all her life.
Oh, Lord, the French are the prettiest obliging people. They say the most acceptable, well-mannered things. Pass us that mirror. Oh, you see, I'm almost afraid it flatters me. It just makes me look too attractive.
Oh, no, it flatters you not, madame. You truly are a peach.
Oh, I thank you, Claudette. You're not so bad yourself.
Oh, croyez-moi, madame. The moon has no brightness at all when the sun appears.
The moon has no brightness? Ah, I see what you mean. Yes, yes, very flattering. Very flattering. Oh, gosh. Is it possible that my eyes can be so languishing and yet so full of fire?
Ah, if you stare into the mirror any harder, it will break.
Eh? Claudette, tell me, have you ever been in love?
Ah, oui, madame.
And were you loved in return?
Ah, no, madame, not loved, no.
Gosh, that's unlucky. Thank the Lord that's never happened to me. Everyone loves me. Everyone. Trouble is, I'm just so picky. Strangely picky. I believe, were the merit of whole mankind bestowed upon one single person, I'd still think the fellow wanted something to make it worth my while noticing him. And yet I could love, nay, love fondly, if only it were possible to have a man made on purpose for me. For I'm not cruel, Claudette, merely picky.
Oh, madame, I wish I was a fine gentleman for your sake. I would do everything in the world to get a little way into your heart.
Oh, that's nice of you.
I would sing, make verses. I'd give you serenades. I'd give you a great many presents. Ah, ma chère dame, que je vous aime.
The French truly have some strange obliging ways.
I wouldn't sleep. I wouldn't eat. Starve myself, I would. I'd hang myself. I'd drown myself.
Yes, yes, yes. All right, Claudette, I get the point.
Madam, here's a letter for your ladyship by the penny post.
'Tis thus I am importuned every morning, Claudette. Suitor after suitor. Pray, how do the French ladies, when they are thus implacably.
They tend not to complain, huh? Au contraire, when one French lady has got 100 lovers, she will do all she can to get 100 more.
Oh, why, strike me dead, I think they have good taste. For 'tis an unutterable pleasure to be adored by all the men and envied by all the women. Yet I'll swear I'm concerned at the torture I give them. Lord, why was I formed to make the whole creation uneasy? But let me read my letter. Dear Lady Fanciful, if you have a mind to hear of your faults, instead of being praised for your virtues, take the pains to walk in the green walk at St. James's Park with your woman an hour hence. You'll there meet one who hates you for some things, as he could love you for others, and therefore is willing to endeavour your reformation. If you come to the place I mention, you'll know who I am. If you don't, you never shall. So take your choice. This is strangely familiar, Claudette. And yet I have a provoking fancy to know who this impudent fellow is.
Then take your scarf and your mask and go to the rendezvous. That's what a French lady would do, hein? Justement, comme ça.
Rendezvous? What, a secret rendezvous with a man, mademoiselle?
Bah, pourquoi non?
A man I've perhaps never seen before in my life.
Oh, bah, all the better. Ce sera quelque chose de nouveau.
But how do I know what designs he may have? He may intend to ravish me, for aught I know.
Ravish you? I'd like to see him try. Ah oui, je le voudrais. Hein?
Oh, but my reputation, mademoiselle, my reputation. Ah, ma chère reputation.
Ah, the thing is, once you've lost it, you no longer have it to worry about.
Oh, get you gone, you little naughty French woman, you. I vow and swear I must turn you out of doors if you talk thus.
Turn me out of doors? Mm. Oh, but turn yourself out of doors and go and see what this gentleman has to say to you. Oh. Here, your scarf, your cloak, your gloves.
Oh, why, for once I'll follow your advice, out of the intemperate desire I have to know who this ill-bred fellow is. But I have too much delicatesse to make a habit of it.
Ah, c'est une belle chose, vraiment, la délicatesse. Allez, now then, you're all dressed up, let's go. What's wrong?
I dare not go.
Oh, well, stay here, then.
I'm a coward. The whole thing is naughty.
Naughty, but nice.
Must I then go?
Must you go? Must you eat? Must you drink? Must you sleep? Must you live? It's nature bids you to do these things. Nature. Oh, là là, me fait enrager.
But reason is there to correct nature, mademoiselle.
Then reason is insolent. For nature is her older sister.
Do you then prefer your nature to your reason, Claudette?
But too right.
Pourquoi?
But because when all is said and done, my nature makes me merry and my reason makes me sad. Oh. Allez, allez, allez!
Well, I vow, mademoiselle, I am strangely impatient to know who this confident fellow is.
Moi aussi, madame.
Look, there's Mr. Hartfree. But sure, it can't be him. He's a professed woman-hater. And yet, who knows what my devilish eyes may have done to the poor fellow?
Oh, he's approaching us, madame.
Yes, 'tis he. Now will he be most intolerably cavalier, though by rights he should be in love with me.
There must be something wrong with him.
Ah, madam, I'm your humble servant. I perceive you have more humility and good nature than I thought you had.
What do you attribute to humility and good nature, sir? May, perhaps, be only due to curiosity. I had a mind to know who 'twas had ill manners enough to write this letter.
Well, now you know. It was me.
Now I know indeed, sir. Goodbye.
Nay, hold there. Though you have done your business, I haven't done mine. By your ladyship's leave, we must have one moment's prattle together. Have you a mind to be the prettiest woman about town or not?
I'm not going to answer that.
Ah, yes, because of course you think you already are the prettiest woman in town. Forgive my impertinence.
Pray, sir, let me ask you a question in my turn.
By what right do you pretend to examine me?
By the same right, madam, that the strong govern the weak, because I have you in my power. For you cannot get so quickly to your coach. But I shall have time enough to make you hear everything that I have to say to you.
Oh, these are strange liberties you take, Mr. Hartley.
Yes, well, I have designs on you, you see.
Designs on me? What sort of designs?
Well, let me see. Your vanity, madam, I take to be about some 8 degrees higher than any woman's in the town, let t'other be who she will. And my indifference is naturally about the same pitch.
Charming.
However, if you find a way to turn this indifference of mine into fire and flame and passion, then, methinks, your vanity ought to be satisfied. Yes?
And what method do you have in mind, pray? What should I do to win this fire and flame of yours, assuming I had an appetite so depraved as to desire it?
Why, madam, you must lay down your affectation.
My affectation, sir? Quelle affectation?
Why, I ask for nothing that you can't do without.
You grow rude, sir. Come, Claudette, it's time we were going.
No. You may as well stand still, for hear me you shall, walk which way you please.
What do you want, sir?
I want you to know that you are the most ungrateful woman on earth.
Ungrateful? To whom?
To nature.
Why, what has nature done for me?
What you have undone by art. Nature made you handsome. It gave you beauty to a miracle, a shape without a fault, wit enough to make them relish, but then unfortunately, it turned you loose to your own discretion, which has made such work with you that you are become the pity of our sex and the jest of your own. There is not a feature in your face, but you have found the way to teach it some affected convulsion. Your feet, your hands, your very fingers' ends are directed never to move without some ridiculous air or other, and your language is like some trumpet summoning people to the general freak show.
Is this how we make love in England?
You are old enough to know better.
Oi, less of the old.
Now, do you hate me for telling you this? But that's because you don't believe to sell. Because if you thought it was true, you would reform for your own sake.
Every circumstance of nice breeding must appear ridiculous to one who has so little understanding of good manners.
But suppose I could find the means to convince you that the whole world is of my opinion.
Ha! Sir, should you and all the world you talk of be so impertinently officious as to try to persuade me I don't know how to behave myself, I should still have charity enough for my own understanding to believe myself in the right and all you in the wrong. Claudette, trot, we're going.
Good day, madam. Mademoiselle? Oh, well, that was a waste of time. Henceforward, I'll sooner undertake to teach sincerity to a courtier, generosity to a usurer, or honesty to a lawyer, than teach discretion to this woman who has once set her heart upon playing the fool.
Good morrow, Heartfree.
Ah, Constant, good morrow.
What are you doing here?
Doing? Guess, if you can.
I don't know. Some sport, I dare say.
Why, I've been endeavouring to persuade my lady Fanciful that she's the most foolish woman about town.
Not having a go at women again, Heartfree. I tell you, for a man who claims to dislike them, you don't have to spend a lot of time seeking their company, if only to lecture them.
Come, friend. Lady Fanciful's been asking for a stiff talking to.
Yes, well, that's true enough. She's uncommon pretentious. But what did you say to her?
I've told her, in as plain English as I could speak, both what the town says of her and what I think of her.
And how did she take it?
Like a child with a pill. She bit on it, but she didn't swallow.
But why bother Harters? That's the question.
Well, the main thing was the morning hung upon my hands and I didn't know what to do with myself. But another was that as little as I care for women, I could not see with patience one that heaven had taken such wondrous pains about acting like such an absolute jack pudding.
So 'twas not to woo?
Woo? Me? Her? Me woo her? You're joking, aren't you? I woo not.
Well, lucky you then. I only wish my mistress might make use of what heaven has done for her.
Does she not?
Not in the slightest. She is cruel and cold, and I'm minded to say that love is the devil. The devil, I say.
So why do you let the devil govern you?
Because I have more flesh and blood than grace and self-denial. But my dear, dear mistress, on the other hand, she's as virtuous as a saint, And I thought religion was supposed to be out of fashion these days.
That is bad luck, Constant, but give it time. What?
Time? 'Tis now 2 years since her husband invited me to his wedding. And there was the first time I saw that charming woman, whom I have loved ever since, more than ever a martyr did his soul. But she is cold, my friend, still cold as the northern star.
So are all women by nature, which makes him so willing to be warmed.
Oh, don't profane the sex, prithee. Think them all angels for her sake. For she's virtuous, even to a fault.
A lover's head is a good accountable thing, truly. He adores his mistress for being virtuous, and yet is very angry with her because she won't give in to him.
Why, the only relief I expect in my misery is to see thee some day or other as deeply engaged as myself, which will force me to be merry in the midst of all my misfortunes.
That day will never come, be assured, Constant.
So, how do you avoid falling in love, Heartfree?
'Tis easy. Sure, I can pass a night with a woman, and I can court a woman too, call her nymph, angel, goddess, what have you. Mm-hmm. But here's the difference. I persuade a woman she is an angel, but a woman persuades you she is one. You see, I always consider a woman not as the poet makes her, but as pure nature has contrived her. Her heart, well examined, I find there pride, vanity, covetousness, indiscretion, but above all things, malice. Oh yes. Plots eternally forging to destroy one another's reputations. Hourly debates how to make a poor gentleman in love with them, with no other intent but to use them like dogs.
Very well, sir. An admirable composition, truly.
Yeah, that's her personality. As for her appearance, I'm not swayed by it. Her skin is but a thin Tiffany, which covers exactly the same stuff that you and I are made of.
Hold thy tongue, for I'll hear no more.
So you'll love on then?
Yes!
And yet have no hopes at all?
None. Oh, Heartfree, is it not monstrous strange that in 2 years she hasn't given me so much as a nod?
Not strange at all. She don't like you. That's all the business.
Prithee, don't distract me.
Why don't you go and see her now? She may have changed her mind. There's always a chance of that when it comes to a woman.
Oh, 'tis in vain to visit her. Sometimes, to get a sight of her, I call on that beast her husband. But she always finds some pretense to quit the room as soon as I enter.
Well, it looks as though you won't have to visit him today.
Why so?
Because the beast has seen us on his stroll and is hallooing us as we speak.
Oh, no! Your humble servant, Sir John.
Your servant, sir.
How does all your family?
A plague on my family.
How does your lady? I haven't seen her abroad a good while.
I don't know how she does, not I. She was well enough yesterday, haven't been since then.
What, were you out of town?
Out of town? No, sir. I was drinking.
You are a true Englishman. Don't know your own happiness. If I were married to such a woman, I would not be from her for a night for all the wine of France.
Not from her. Zounds. What time should a man have of that?
There's no division, I hope.
No. Well, there's a conjunction, and that's worse. A pox on the person.
Fie, fie. You have one of the best wives in the world, and yet you seem the most uneasy husband.
Best wife? Well, a woman's well enough. She has no vices I know of. But she's a wife, and damn a wife. When I'm married to a hogshead of claret, matrimony would make me hate it.
Why'd you marry, then? You were old enough to know your own mind.
Why don't I marry? I married because I had a mind to lie with her, and she wouldn't let me.
Why didn't you ravish her?
Oh, yeah. Sort of hedging myself into 40 quarrels with the relations, besides having to buy me pardon. But more than that, I was afraid of being damned in those days, for I kept sneaking cowardly company. Fellas that went to church and said grace over the meat, and had not the least tincture of quality about them.
But you've got into a better gang now.
Well, soon, sir. Lord Rake and I? We're like hand and glove. Why, I believe we might even have our bones broken together this very night. Have you mind for such a frolic?
Not I, truly. My talent lies in softer exercises.
You mean a downy bed and a strumpet? Never mind that. Come drinking with me instead.
I can't drink today. But I'll come and sit an hour with you, if you will.
Box. Sit an hour? Why can't you drink?
Because he has to see his mistress.
His mistress? Who's that then?
It's a secret.
Would my wife knew it. Wouldn't be a secret for long then.
Why? Do you think she can't keep a secret?
Prithee, Tell her they're constant. See if she can.
No, I beg you don't, or she'll plague me with it.
I'll bet you a guinea, Sir John, you wouldn't make her tell at you.
Well, I'll hold you a guinea, I would. I'd merely ask her not to tell me. She'd be out with it in no time. Mm. Oh, come, let's have no more talk about my wife or your mistress. And damn the pair of them with all my heart. And damn everything that dangles a petticoat. Oh, except for four generous whores who were drunk with Lord Rake and I 10 times in a fortnight. Farewell, lads.
That man's usage of his wife makes me ready to stab the
villain. Lovers are short-sighted. All their senses run into that of feeling. Prithee, Constant, take heart. If anything can prevail with Lady Brute to accept a gallant, it is his usage of her. I have great hopes for you. And since I can't seem to put you off her, I shall endeavour to advance your cause.
For the sake of friendship?
Nope, because a whining lover is the damnedest companion upon earth. Come on, let's go and get some lunch. If we hurry, we might get a table at Lockett's.
No, I'm too excited to eat.
Nonsense! You have hope! Let it get you a stomach.
Well, Claudette, what about that Mr. Heartfree? Did you ever hear anything so importune in all your life?
Indeed, madame. To say the truth, he does want a little good breeding.
Good breeding? He wants to be caned, mademoiselle. An insolent fellow.
Alors, vous ne l'aimez pas?
Like him? Pah!
Well, do you?
How could I like such an ill-bred sort? Of course, if he were a fine gentleman...
If he were a fine gentleman, what?
Well, did men but know how deep an impression a fine gentleman makes in a lady's heart, they would reduce all their studies to that of good breeding alone.
So you would like him, but only if he were a fine gentleman?
All right! All right! I like him. There. I've admitted it. Sure, this Heartfree has bewitched me, Claudette.
He's a bit young for you, isn't he?
Nonsense. Young? I'm young. I've been young for years.
And what are you going to do about his brutality?
Why, truly, I believe I shall soon subdue it. For without doubt, he has a strange penchant to grow fond of me, in spite of his aversion to my sex. Else he would never have taken so much pains about me. Lord, how proud would some poor creatures be of such a conquest. But what shall I do to new mould him, Claudette? That's the question.
Madame, you must laugh at him in all the places that you meet him, and turn into ridicule everything he says and does.
Oh, well, it is a talent of mine to ridicule folks. I can be severe, strangely severe, when I will. Give me the pen and ink. I'll write to him in a strangely severe manner. No, actually... It would be more severe not to write to him. Yet, active severity is better than passive. But then, he might want me to be severe to prove that he has provoked me. No, I shan't write. But then, 'tis a thousand pities so much satire should be lost. I shall write. But then, what if he is then put off me altogether? Best not write. But then, he might be put off if I don't write at all.
Shall I put the kettle on, madame?
Well, that was a passable meal. But now for the main business. All right, good smoke.
Lord Sir John, I wonder you won't give up that nasty custom.
Really, don't be impertinent. And leave me be. I'm expecting company.
I wonder who is expecting Belinda. Do you think it might be Constant?
Might be Constant.
Who? Constant!
Keep your voice down. I am trying to smoke.
Perhaps it will be Constant. He comes here often.
Well, if it does prove him, I'm resolved. I'll share the visit. Sir John, we'll sit here and do our needlework.
Oh, pox. Can you not work somewhere else?
Well, we won't disturb you, sir.
Your pipe would make you too thoughtful, Uncle, if you were left alone. Our prittle-prattle will cure your spleen.
Cure me spleen? Give me a headache, more like.
Oh, don't let's mind him, Belinda. Let him say what he will. Ooh, you've done a good deal on this embroidery since yesterday.
Yes, I have worked very hard on it. How do you like it?
Oh, it's the prettiest fringe in the world. Mm. Well, niece, you have the happiest fancy. Prithee, advise me about altering my crimson petticoat.
A pox on your petticoat. Here's such a prating, a man cannot digest his own thoughts.
Don't answer him. Well, Belinda, what do you advise me?
Well, really, I would not alter it at all. Methinks it's very pretty indeed.
Ah, it is true, but you know, one grows weary of the prettiest things in the world when one has had them long enough.
Yes, I have told her that.
Shall we provoke him a little?
Oh, good idea. With all my heart, Belinda, don't you long to be married?
Why, there are some things in it which I could like well enough.
What do you think you should dislike?
My husband, above all else.
Oh, you wicked wretch. Surely you don't speak as you think.
Oh, yes, I do, especially if he smoked tobacco.
For God's sake, all I ask is a bit of peace. I've been in paper mills quieter than this.
But the good thing about tobacco is that it often disguises worse smells.
Then he must smell very ill indeed.
Some men will, to keep their wives from coming near him.
Then those wives should cuckold him at a distance.
Right, that's it! Oh, get you upstairs, you confederating stupid! But I'll cuckold you with an absolute vengeance!
What's going on?
This is sport indeed, Sir John. What is you do?
Dear Mr. Constance, save us!
Get out of here, the pair of you, and a pox on you!
Oh, they've gone.
Heaven, Sir John, what's the matter?
Sure. If women had already been created, the devil, instead of being kicked down to hell, would have been married.
Why? What new plagues have you found now?
These two gentlewomen did but hear me say I was expecting you here this afternoon, upon which they resolved to take up the room on purpose to annoy me and my friends.
Was that all? Why, we should have been glad of their company.
Then I should have been weary of yours, for I cannot relish both together. But he found fault in me smoking tobacco too, and said that all men stunk. Oh, but split the ladies. Come, will you take a seat? Right, let's have some wine. Would you have a smoke?
No, nor drink neither at this time. I must ask your pardon.
This mistress of yours runs in your head. I'll warrant she's some such squeamish minx as me wife. Has grown so dainty of late you can find fault even in a dirty shirt. But come, one glass, and I'll send for the box of lozenges to sweeten your breath afterwards.
Nay, if one glass will satisfy you, I'll drink it without putting you to that expense.
All right, one glass will do me.
To you, gentlemen. A wife's the devil. To you both being married.
Your most humble servant, sir.
Your most humble servant.
How do you like me wine?
Tis very good indeed.
Tis admirable.
We'll take another glass.
Praise excuse us now. We'll come another time, and then we won't spare it.
Ah, one glass and no more. And it shall be to your mistress's good health. And that's a compliment from me, I can assure you.
Well, I'm not sure we should drink to her...
Come.
Yes, come. It's not often I drink to the health of a woman. So, give me your glasses. To her good health.
What's the matter? Does it go the wrong way?
If I were a jealous man, I should take this as a bad omen.
What do you mean?
Normally, I only choke if I'm drinking to my wife.
Oh. Well, you have no reason to be jealous on her behalf, sir.
No, sir.
No. She's far too virtuous.
Pox on her virtue, I see.
What mean you?
Why, if I could but catch her adulterating, I might be divorced from her by law.
Yeah, and have to pay her a yearly pension, as well as being a known cuckold.
I'm not sure I like the sound of that. Here's Razor, my rascal of a servant. Been stealing my sherry again, Razor?
Me, sir? No, sir, not once, sir.
What do you want?
Sir, there's my Lord Rake, Colonel Bully, and some other gentlemen at the Blue Post Inn. They desire your company.
Gad, sir, we're to consult about playing the devil tonight.
Well, we won't hinder business.
Methinks I don't know how to take my leave of you, though. But for once, I must make bold. Look, you, if you stay here for half an hour or an hour, and if I don't come then, well, then I won't come at all.
A good, modest proposition, truly. No, we must be off, sir.
Not so fast. We could stay a little while, since you have been so kind. Think on, Heartfree. The lady is in.
Oh, yes. Sorry, old chap. Well, sir, to show how fond we are of your company, we'll await your return as long as we can.
Oh, well, maybe I won't stay at all. But business, you know, has to be done. Farewell!
Farewell, beast. And now, my dear friend, Would my mistress be as welcoming as some men's wives who think it a piece of good breeding to receive the visits of their husband's friends in his absence?
Why, for your sake, I could forgive her. But what way shall we invent to see her?
Oh, never hope it. Invention will prove as vain as wishes.
Good afternoon.
Hello, lads.
What do you think now, friend?
I think I shall swoon.
I'll speak first, then, while you fetch breath.
Good afternoon, ladies.
We thought ourselves obliged, gentlemen, to come and thank you for your knight-errantry.
Ah, what knight-errantry is that?
Why, when you came in, we were just upon being devoured by the fiery dragon.
Yes, did not his fumes almost knock you down, gentlemen?
True, ladies, we did undergo some hardships.
Well, thank you. Your arrival was timely.
Madam, though I'm glad of the service you say we have done you, yet I'm sorry we made ourselves privy to what you would perhaps have kept a secret.
Oh, I'm not much concerned, since 'tis fallen only into this gentleman's hands and yours, who I have many reasons to believe will neither interpret nor report anything to my disadvantage.
Your good opinion, madam, was what I feared I never could have merited.
Prithee, Constant, what is it you do to get the lady's good opinions? For I'm a novice at it.
Sir, will you give me leave to instruct you?
Yes, that I will, madam, with all my soul.
Why, then? You must never be a sloven, never be out of humour, never advertise your good luck, never smoke tobacco, and only drink when you are thirsty.
Oh, that's hard.
Nay, if you take his bottle from him, you break his heart, madam.
Why? Is it possible the gentleman can love drinking?
Only by way of antidote.
Against what, pray?
Against love, madam.
Are you afraid of being in love, sir?
I would be, if there were any danger of it.
Pray, why so?
Because I always had an aversion to being used like a dog.
Yes, 'tis true. Men in love are seldom treated better than that.
You can say that again.
But have you really never been in love, Mr. Hartfree?
No, I thank heaven, madam. Nor do I hope to.
For he would have to give up drink, then.
Madam, here's my lady fanciful to wait upon you.
Oh, Lord, shield me, kind heaven. What an inundation of impertinence is here coming upon us.
Ah, my dear lady. Brute. Mwah, mwah, and sweet Belinda. Methinks 'tis an age since I last saw you.
Yes, 'tis but 3 days. Sure, you must have passed your time very ill if it seems so long to you.
Why, really, to confess the truth to you, I am so everlastingly fatigued with the addresses of unfortunate gentlemen that were it not for the extravagancy of the example, I should e'en tear out these wicked eyes with my own fingers to make both myself and mankind easy. What think you on't, Mr. Hartfree? For I take you to be my most faithful adviser.
Why, truly, madam, I think every project that's for the good of mankind ought to be encouraged.
Would you believe it, ladies? This gentleman was this morning so exceeding generous to tell me 50 of my faults in less time than it was possible for me to commit one of them.
Why, truly, madam, my friend there is apt to be something familiar with the ladies.
He is indeed, sir, but he's wondrous charitable with it. He has had the goodness to design a reformation, right down to my fingers' ends. How was it you would have me hold my hand, sir? 'Twas thus?
This was more like this.
Like that? That's ridiculous.
Yeah, but you normally hold them like this, and some might say that is ridiculous.
I do not hold them like that. Claudette, tell him.
You are wrong, Monsieur Hartfree. She holds them comme ci, and you just had them comme ça.
No. I'm saying she holds them like this, normally, and I think she should hold them like this.
Like this?
No, more like this.
I'm not holding them like that. I can tell you that for nothing. What's wrong with holding them like this?
I just think holding them like that is much worse than holding them like this. That's all.
See how he treats me, everyone.
Why does it bother you? Perhaps it's because you are fond of him.
Ridiculous. Fond of him? I ask you.
He's certainly got you going.
He's got a downright cheek, that's why.
Well, for my part, I should be glad to find somebody who would be so free with me that I might know my faults and mend them.
Then pray let me recommend this gentleman to you.
Thank you, madam, for your recommendation, but hating idleness, I'm unwilling to enter into a place where I believe there would be nothing to do. I was fond of serving your ladyship, however, because I knew that you would find me constant employment.
How rude he is!
Oh, a little bluntness is a sign of honesty, which makes me always ready to pardon it. So, sir, if you have no other objection to my service but the fear of being idle in it, you may venture to enlist yourself. I shall find you work, I warrant you.
Upon those terms, I engage, madam. Should I kiss your hand to seal our contract?
Yes, yes, all right, all right. That's quite enough messing around from you two. Mr. Hartfree, I do hope that for all that has passed between us, there is no lasting quarrel. I can be a little severe, I admit, but women, you know, may be excused anything.
Up to a certain age, madam.
Which I am not yet past, I hope.
Depends what figure you have in mind.
Come, Lady Brute, will you be witness to our reconciliation?
You are agreed, then, at last.
We forgive.
Yes, and now we must leave.
I thought you didn't want to go.
Well, I think we should now she's turned up. She might suspect something and be malicious.
I'm just starting to enjoy myself.
What, talking to Lady F?
No, to Belinda.
Well, who'd have thought it?
Just in an idle, friendly way, you understand.
Of course. But look, we really should be off. Fanciful maid gossip, and I've no wish to end up dealing with Sir John.
No, he wouldn't dare.
He might, if he was drunk enough. Ladies, we are your humble servants. I see Sir John is quite engaged. 'Twould be in vain to expect him. Come, Hartfree.
Ladies, I remain your most humble servant.
Well, he's an impudent fellow. I am surprised, Belinda, you were so wont to indulge him.
I hardly indulged him, madam. Though by your look I see I have pained you.
You have not pained me. Not in the least. Far from it. I care nothing for him. But now I think I must take my leave.
Go already, madam.
I must beg you'll excuse me this once, for really I have 18 visits to return this afternoon. You see, I am importuned by the women as well as the men. Nay, follow me not. I shall walk downstairs myself.
No, let me wait upon you down.
No, sweet Lady Brute, you know I swoon at ceremony.
Oh, pray, give me leave.
You know I won't.
Indeed I must.
Indeed you shan't. Good day to you, then.
Oh, Belinda, this presumptuous woman has put me out of humour for a fortnight. Oh, what an agreeable moment her foolish visit interrupted.
You're slipping, Auntie, you're slipping.
Yes, but what a pleasure there is in doing what we should not do, niece. Does not my churl of a husband deserve it? I mean, he cares not for me. Why should I care for him? I mean, why, even now I know his half an hour at a meeting will mean I don't see him for a two-night. Oh, that I should have so foolishly contracted myself to him. Oh, you. What are you still doing here?
I came back.
Oh. Belinda?
Yes?
I'm sure you have a few things to be getting on with in your room.
Like what?
You know, some needlework.
I'm not really in the mood.
Yes, well, I'm sure you can get yourself into the mood if you try, Belinda.
I don't suppose Mr. Hartfree came back with you, did he?
Sadly, not, madam.
Needlework it is, then.
Although the renewing of my visit may seem a little irregular, I hope I shall obtain your pardon for it, madam, when you know I only left the room lest the lady who was here should have been as malicious in her remarks as she is foolish in her conduct.
Oh, he, who has discretion enough to be tender of a woman's reputation, carries a virtue about him that may atone for a great many faults.
If it has a title to atone for any, his pretensions must needs be strongest where the crime is love. I therefore hope I shall be forgiven the attempt I have made upon your heart, since my enterprise has been a secret to all the world but yourself.
Secrecy indeed in sins of this kind is an argument of weight to lessen the punishment, but nothing's a plea for a pardon entire without sincere repentance.
If sincerity in repentance consist in sorrow for offending, no cloister ever enclosed so true a penitent as I should be. But I hope it cannot be reckoned an offence to love, where 'tis a duty to adore.
'Tis indeed a great offence, where it would rob a woman of all she ought to be adored for, her virtue.
Virtue? Virtue, alas, is no more like the thing that's called so than 'tis like vice itself. True virtue consists in goodness, honour, gratitude, sincerity, and pity. And not merely in peevish, straight-laced chastity. It is not to be confused with mere continence, That phantom of honour which men of every age have so condemned that they have thrown it amongst the women to scrabble for.
Well, if it be a thing of so very little value, why do you so earnestly recommend it to your wives and daughters?
We recommend it to our wives, madam, because we would keep them to ourselves, and to our daughters because we would dispose of them to others.
It is then of some importance, since you can't dispose of them without it.
I comprehend her. She would have me set a value upon her chastity, that I may think myself the more obliged to her when she makes a present of it. I beg you will believe I did but rally, madam, and I hope you will have so favourable an opinion of my understanding too, to believe the thing called virtue has worth enough in me to pass for an eternal obligation wherever 'tis sacrificed.
It is, I think, so great a one as nothing can repay.
Yes, for it makes the man you love your everlasting debtor.
The trouble being that when debtors once have borrowed all we have to lend, they are very apt to grow shy of their creditors' company.
That, madam, is only when they are forced to borrow from usurers and not from a generous friend. If we are able to choose our creditors, we are seldom ungrateful.
But Sir John chose me. What think you of him?
I think he is married.
Does marriage therefore exclude men from your rule of constancy?
It does. Constancy is a brave, free, haughty, generous agent that cannot buckle to the chains of wedlock. There's a poor, sordid slavery in marriage that turns the flowing tide of honour and sinks us to the lowest ebb of infamy. 'Tis a corrupted soil. Ill nature, avarice, sloth, cowardice and dirt are all its product.
Have you no exceptions to this general rule?
Yes. I would, after all, be an exception to it myself, if you were free in power and will to marry me.
Compliments are well placed, where 'tis impossible to lay hold on them.
I would to heaven it were possible for you to lay hold on mine, that you might see it as no compliment at all. But since you are already disposed on, beyond redemption, to one who does not know the value of the jewel you have put into his hands, I hope you would not think him greatly wronged, though it should sometimes be looked on by a friend who knows how to esteem it as he ought.
If looking on it alone would serve his turn, the wrong would perhaps not be very great.
Why, what if he should wear it now and then a day, so he gave good security to bring it home again at night?
Well, small security I fancy might serve for that. One might venture to take his word.
Then where's the injury to the owner?
Oh, 'tis an injury to him if he think it one. For if happiness be seated in the mind, unhappiness must be too.
Here I close with you, madam, and draw my conclusive argument from your own position. If the injury lie in the fancy, then he's nothing but secrecy to prevent the wrong.
Well, a surer way to prevent it is to hear no more arguments on its behalf.
But, madam...
Oh, you must go. It's my turn to be discreet now and not suffer too long a visit.
By heaven, you shall not stir till you give me hope that I shall see you again at some more convenient time and place.
You're holding my hand.
So I am.
I give you just hope enough to hold it this long. But now I must be loose from you, and you must leave.
My life.
You have, haven't you?
Not like this.
Monsieur Hartfree again, madame.
Yes, and that young niece of Lady Brute's, Belinda. Belinda. Oh, lad. What a difference there is between me and her. How I should despise such a thing if I were a man. What a nose she has. What a chin. What a neck. Then her eyes and the worst kissing lips in the universe. No, no, no. He can never like her. That's positive. Yet I can't suffer them together any longer.
Vous devenez jalouse, madame.
Jalouse? What do you mean? Oh, but how the blockhead went out languishing at her, and not a look to
towards me. Oh, damn them both, that I should think about them. That is not right that such a rude fellow as he is, and such a little impertinent as she, should be capable of making a woman of my sphere uneasy. But I can't bear her sight any longer. We must study revenge, Claudette.
Oh, Heartfree, come to my arms, thou venerable bird, and let me squeeze thee as a new pair of stays does a fat country girl when she's carried to court to stand for a maid of honour.
What the devil's all this rapture for?
Rapture? There's ground for rapture, man. There's hope, my Heartfree. Hope, my friend.
Hope of what?
Why, hope that my lady and I together, for 'tis more than one body's work, should make Sir John a cuckold.
Prithee, what did she say to you?
Say? What did she not say? She said that... She said... I don't know what she said, but whatever it was, it gave me hope. Hope!
Yes, yeah. Now, calm down, for here's your lady's servant, Mr. Razor.
Gentlemen, you seem at your ease. Are your labours finished for the day?
If loving can be called labour.
Oh, don't talk to me of loving. I wash me hands of it. For a 3 month, I have been a-wooing, and I've not an acorn to show for me efforts.
It's hard luck. Have you sung her ballads? Offered her poems?
Oh, all that. Presents, you name it. I've not had so much as a glimpse of a bustle. And she's French.
But not the French maid of Lady Fanciful.
The same. Claudette. I tell you, King Harold hardly had worse luck conquering the French than me.
So what's your plan?
My plan? To go out this very evening and drink myself into a ditch. You coming?
Yeah, that's not much of a plan, is it, Razor? But good luck with it and fare you well.
Aye, friend. And I must away too. Not to drink, though I am drunk on love.
Oh, dear. Both are consumed by love. But not I. Although there is something about Belinda. No. No, it is but foolishness. I'll think no more upon it.
Oh, hello. Come, boys, charge again. That's it, drink away, for the night steals upon us and we shall want time to be losing. Hey, you, waiter!
Sir?
Sally out, sir, and see what's doing in the camp.
I'll bring your lordship an exact account.
Courage, knights. Victory attends us. We raid the bawdy house presently.
Well said, Lord Rick, for there shall laurels crown me. Drink away, me dam.
Again, boys, to the glass, and no morality.
No morality, and damn the watch, and let the constable be married.
So, sir. How are the streets inhabited?
My lord, it's Sunday night. They are full of drunken citizens.
Along then, boys, we shall have a feast.
Along, noble knight.
Along, bully. And here it says Sir John Brute is not as drunk and as religious, it being Sunday, as the most drunken citizen of them all. He's a liar and the son of a whore.
Why, that was bravely spoken and like a free-born Englishman.
What's it to you if I'm an Englishman or a Frenchman?
No, sir, you're not angry.
No, sir, I am angry. For if I am a free-born Englishman, what have you to do even to talk of my privileges?
Why, prithee, knight, don't quarrel here. Let the knight be employed in better ways.
My lord, I respect you, for you are a man of quality. But I would make this fellow know that I'm as absolute by my privileges as the King of France is by his prerogatives.
Yes, yes, but no argument now.
Aye, sir, I meant no offence.
No. Perhaps I'll forgive you. But don't go mentioning my privileges again.
To your privileges.
To privileges. Huzzah!
Sure it's late, Belinda. I begin to be sleepy.
Yes, 'tis near 12. Will you go to bed?
To bed? Yes, I would, except by the time I have fallen into a sweet sleep, Sir John will come roaring home and be overjoyed he finds me in a condition to be disturbed.
Oh, you need not fear him. He's out for the night. The servants say he's gone drinking with Lord Rake.
The two hogs together. Yes, 'tis likely he'll be gone all night.
To bed, then.
Yes, niece. But, prithee, one word of poor Constant before we go to bed. I dare say he's talking of me now, or thinking of me at least, though it be in the middle of his prayers.
So he ought, I think, for you are pleased to make him a good round advance today, madam.
Was I?
You know you were.
Well, I have treated him rough these past months, not given him any satisfaction for all his efforts.
His considerable efforts.
Well, you can say that again. Besieged me, he has.
And is he to be rewarded for his efforts?
Well, put it this way. I'm not sure the besieged town is going to be able to hold out for much longer. But I would fain stay a little while to see you fixed up too, Belinda.
Oh, with whom?
Oh, do you not think Mr. Heartfree has a strong inclination?
Well, I could love him outright for his despising that foolish affected Lady Fanciful, but I'm afraid he is too cold ever to warm himself by my fire.
Well, then he deserves to be froze to death.
But sure you would not have me commit fornication?
Why, if you did, it would only be friendliness on your part to keep me company while I committed you know what.
But pray, how shall we see these blades again quickly?
Yes, we need to contrive a meet with them.
But where?
Spring Garden. 'Tis a popular place with lovers.
But might we not be seen? You mustn't be discovered, cousin.
Oh, worry not. We shall disguise ourselves.
In masks?
Masks? Now, that's a bit passé, isn't it? I was thinking more the humble garb of a lower-class person.
We'll still be recognisable, though.
All right, then. The humble garb of a lower-class person who's got a hood on.
Good thinking!
Right, well, I'll start on the clothes. You write the letter, but make it anonymous.
Oh, of course!
That will be more fun that way and spare our blushes if things go wrong.
Did we kill the dog?
No, damn him, I heard him wheezing on the floor.
How the witch's wife howled!
Enough to alarm the watch, I fancy.
A pox on the watch. And a pox on that damned dog we just fought with, who had the temerity... Who's he did? It's a good question. But whatever it was, he deserved a slap.
Indeed, sir. Now, where shall we go? I have a mighty thirst on me.
This way, boys. Now then, who's this?
Sirs, good evening. Let me pass.
How now? What have we got here? A thief?
No, and please you, I'm no thief.
That we'll see presently. Here, let's examine him.
No,
aye, and I'll lay £100 that we'll find him guilty, for he looks like a sneaking rascal.
No, I...
Now, sir, without equivocation or mental reservation, tell me of what calling you are.
And please you, sir, I'm a journeyman tailor.
Let me see what's in that bundle.
No, and please you, it's the gown of the parish priest.
Excellent! Give it here, I'll wear it.
You won't balk at abusing the clergy, Sir John?
No. I'm drunk. I'll abuse anything. Give it here.
Oh, dear gentlemen, I should be quite undone if you take the gown.
Retire, sir, unless you're looking for trouble.
No, I'm not looking for trouble. The trouble I'll get for losing this gown.
Now, give it here. Let's get it on. Now, how do you like my shapes now, my?
It is a miracle. You look like the most right reverend bishop.
You could be off to the holy wars, but... To your arms, gentlemen. The enemy is upon their march. Here comes the watch.
And the constable with him. Worry not. For sure they will defer to my higher authority.
Stead! Who goes there? Come before the constable!
The constable's a rascal, and you are the son of a whore.
Good civil answer for a parson, truly.
Methinks, sir, a man of your coat might set a better example.
I'll make you know, sir, there are men of my coat can set as bad examples as you can do. You dog, you!
Come on, right, this way, bully!
Oh, I've got him, but where be his friends?
He's gone!
Oh, we've secured the parson, however.
Oh, this is a mad parson, Mr. Constable. Hey, I'll lay a pot of ale upon his head. He's a good preacher. I bet he raves from the pulpit.
Unhelp me! I have my ministry to attend to.
Now, come, sir. Out of respect for your calling, I shan't put you in jail.
Well, I'll be off then.
But we must secure you in our drawing room till morning. That way you may do no mischief.
You may put me where you like, but if I cannot do mischief, I can still think it in spite of your teeth, you dog, you.
You up and dress so soon? I thought none but lovers quarrelled with their beds. I expected to have found you snoring, as I usually do.
Well, it is the care I have of your affairs that makes me so thoughtful. I've been studying all night how to bring your matter about with Belinda.
With Belinda?
With your lady, I mean. And Faith, I have had mighty hopes on it. Sure, you must be very well satisfied with her behaviour to you yesterday.
So well that nothing but a lover's fears can make me doubt of success. But what can this sudden change proceed from?
You saw her husband make to beat her, did you not?
That's true. A husband is scarce to be borne upon any terms, much less when he fights with his wife. Methinks she should e'en cuckold him on the spot, to show that after the battle she was master of the field.
A war council of women would infallibly have advised her to it. But I confess, so agreeable a woman as Belinda deserves better usage.
Belinda again?
Your lady, I mean. What a plague makes me blunder so today.
Prithee, look upon me seriously, Heartfree. Now answer me directly. Is it my lady or Belinda employs your careful thoughts thus?
Your lady or Belinda? Well, you know, obviously,
We're in love by this light. You are in love.
In love? In love?
Nay, never deny it, for thou shalt do it so awkwardly, it will but make the jest sit heavier about thee. My dear friend, I give you much joy.
Well, surely you don't believe it in earnest.
Yes, I do, because I see you deny it in jest.
Nay, but look you, look, deny it in jest, I'm constant. In jest, you know, I say, you know, when a... I don't know. When a man, you know, denies a thing in jest, well, that's just it. Come on, because a man stumbles at a word. You never made a blunder?
Yes, for I am in love, I admit it.
Then so am I. Yeah, no, well, now laugh till my soul is glutted with mirth. But dear Constant, please don't tell the town about it.
Nay, then I shan't. It would almost be a pity to laugh at thee after so honest a confession.
Sir, there's a porter outside with a letter. He desires to give it into your own hands.
Call him in.
And if it please you, sir, I was ordered to deliver this into your hands by two well-shaped ladies on the Strand. So I came to your honour's lodgings and your servants have sent me up.
'Tis well. Are you to carry any answer?
No, my noble master. They gave me my orders and whip, they were gone.
Well, very well. There.
Is that all you got? Come all the way from the Strand, I have.
It's not that far. There.
That's more like it. Heaven bless your honour.
Now, let's see what the well-paid chap has brought us. If you and your playfellow can spare time from your business and devotions, don't fail to be at Spring Garden this very morn about 11. You'll find nothing there but women, so you need bring no arms than what you usually carry about you. So, playfellow, here's something to stay your stomach till your mistress's dish is ready for you.
Some of our battered acquaintance, no doubt. I won't go, not I.
Nay, that you can't avoid. There's honour in the case. 'Tis a challenge, and I want a second.
Belinda is challenge enough for me.
Aye, and Lady Brute for me. 'Tis but a harmless game, Heartfree. I'm curious, no more. Besides, we can get ourselves a pint of beer at the Spring Garden. Come on.
Come along, sir. I thought to let you go this morning because you are a minister. But as you're as drunk and abusive as ever, let's see what the Justice of the Peace will say to you.
And you shall see what I shall say to the Justice of the Peace.
Well, Mr. Constable, what's the disorder here?
If it please your worship, here...
Sit down and let me speak, for I am in touch with the divine and therefore can unfold mysteries better than you can.
Sadness to hear a minister so overtaken.
If it please your worship, he attempted to beat the watch last night and swore...
You lie, you son of a whore.
Oh, alack, the ruination of it. Pray, sir, what is your name?
My name, sir... is the Reverend...
Well, Reverend... Where is your cure?
You are.
You are a curate, so you must have a cure.
Do you mean a parish?
Answer the question. What cure do you have?
Well, I don't have a cure for the pox, if that's what you need.
Constable, I vow and protest I do not know what to do with him.
Truly, he has been a most troublesome guest to us all night and this morning...
I think I had best just let him go about his business, for I am unwilling to expose him.
I'll expose myself!
Oh, please don't. Let him go. 'Tis the morning, sir, and you should be ministering to your flock.
Although it might be wise for you to sober up first. Let him go, Constable. Good day to you.
Good day to you, sir. Oh.
You got off lightly.
It's God's will.
Well, perhaps you will reform your ways.
Perhaps I will. But first, Mr. Constable, what say you and I go and pick up a couple of horses together? Oh,
get gone with you! Take a walk and clear your head. There's Spring Garden just around the corner.
Spring Garden? It's a pleasant seat. I will take a walk there, sir. And spare me whoring till later.
Oh. Huzzah!
So, Heartfree, I think we are about the time appointed. Let us walk this way.
It's funny, Constant, but I've got the most devilish feeling we're being followed.
Followed? By who? Nonsense. Come along.
Oh, good. Thus far we have dogged them without being discovered.
But oh, Claudette.
Madame?
Tis doubtless some romantic intrigue that brings them to Spring Garden. My poor heart is torn and racked with fear and jealousy. Let it be anything but that flirt, Belinda, and I'll try to bear it. But if it proves her, all that's woman in me shall be employed to destroy her. But look, here they come again. Let's repair to this arbor.
Why, is it damaged? No, let's hide in it, stupid.
I see no females yet that have anything to say to us. So I'm afraid we have been tricked.
Hello.
How now? Who are these maids? Not our game, I hope.
Look at the clothes they've got on. It's very common.
Uncommon common. Are they serving girls?
I don't know, Constant. Nor do I know what we're doing a hunting here when we had so much better game to chase elsewhere.
So those are their ladies, without doubt. But I'm afraid that cheap woolen stuff is not worn for want of better clothes. They are the very shape and size of Belinda and Lady Brute.
No way, madame.
Yes, way, Claudette. Yes, way indeed. I'd like to get a peek under their hoods.
Why are your faces covered, ladies?
Oh, what are you afraid of us, gentlemen?
Why, truly, I think we may be, if appearances don't lie.
Do you always judge women by their appearances, sir?
No, Forsyth. But I seldom find them better than they appear to be.
Careful, Heartfree. You're relapsing again.
Oh, why does the gentleman make a habit of railing against women?
Well, he has done formerly.
I suppose he had very good call for it. They did not use you so well as you thought you deserved, sir. They made themselves merry at your expense, sir.
Laughed when you sighed.
And slept while you were waking.
And threw your billy doo in the fire.
Heyday! Is it any wonder I railed?
But who the devil's coming here? Looks like Sir John Brute.
Sir John!
Do you know him?
Preposterous. How could two such down-at-heel ladies purport to know a knight?
We are undone. Let's go.
What do you mean, undone?
It's us, Belinda and your Lady Brute.
Oh, I wondered why you were bothering with the hoods. Don't take them off, whatever you do.
What a box. Constant Heartfree and two hoods. Egad, you covetous rogues. Got a spare trollop for your old friend, Sir John? Come, I'll share with you.
What the plague have you been up to that brings you here, Sir John?
Why, I've been beating the watch and scandalising the judiciary.
A very good account, truly.
Well, what do you think I'm going to do next?
Nay, that no man can guess.
Oh, but I bet these two young strumpets can guess, can't you?
Lorks, Claudette. They're in trouble now, all right.
It's rather exciting, madame, isn't it?
Oh, I'd like to see how they get out of this one.
Yeah, we were actually just about to leave, yeah. Sir John.
Indeed. I've got a meeting in town about some horses.
Meeting about some horses? Well, no matter. You go, I'll stay here. What do you think of that, Eagles?
Oh, why, sure, Mr. Heartfree, Mr. Constant, you won't leave us in the hands of a drunken fellow to abuse us.
Who are you calling a drunken fellow, you slut, you? I am a man of quality. The king has made me a knight.
Looky, sir, we did but jest with you.
Jest? What do you mean?
Whole thing's a game. A joke. These are ladies of our acquaintance.
Mm-hmm. Of your acquaintance? They look like a pair of tarts.
Oh, that's not very nice.
Yes, they're down from Newcastle, they are.
Wales.
No, Scotland.
Oh, yes, sorry, down from Scotland. They are. Isn't that right, girls?
Oh, hi.
I'm born in Scotland.
Yes, but betrothed they are to a pair of most fearful lads, as ever you did see. Aye, the McSporran brothers, who would kill us no sooner than look at us.
Yes, he was back off, sir, back off! Lest you draw attention to our assignation.
Well, no fun to be had with the ladies, then.
No, sir. You must leave us.
Mm. Well, I'd hate to see you get a beating on account of a couple of Scots girls. So I'll leave you to it, boys. It's high time I had to sleep anyway. No! Maybe I'll just quaff another quart before then. Hey, farewell!
Oh, I shall never come to myself again. I'm so frightened.
It was a narrow escape indeed.
We women must have our frolics, you see, whatever the cost.
Yes, this frolic might have proved a dear one, though.
Oh, sirs, you must not have the worst opinion of us for our innocent gain. See, the risk we run was all upon your account.
Yes, so now you are the more obliged to us. And I hope, Mr. Hartfleet, that you are now perhaps of an opinion that women are sometimes better than they appear to be.
Madam, you have made a convert of me in everything. Maybe I've grown a fool, but I must say, I could be fond of a woman.
I thank you, sir, in the name of the whole sex.
Which sex no one but yourself could ever have atoned for.
Now has my vanity a devilish itch to know in what my merit consists.
Madam, stroll with me a while.
Indeed I shall, sir, and perhaps remove this hood while I'm about it.
Good idea.
Oh, tis you, Belinda.
Tis her. Tis her indeed.
You knew it was her.
I thought it was her.
Oh, my heart, oh, jealousy of torture. Oh, I'm on the rack. What shall I do? My lover's lost. Fie, fie, fie.
Fie indeed. But how much longer do we have to stay in this arbor? Ça me dérange ici.
Oh, you can say that again. Oh, but hold. Constant is talking to Lady Brute now.
So, lady, we are alone.
Sure you think me scandalously free, Mr. Constant. I'm afraid I shall lose your good opinion of me.
My good opinion, madam, is like your cruelty, never to be removed.
Oh, indeed, I doubt you much. Why, suppose you had a wife and she should entertain a gallant.
If I gave her just cause, how should I justly condemn her?
Ah, but what is a just cause?
Drunkenness and the threats of blows can bear no dispute.
Nor ill manners much, truly.
Then no woman on earth has so just a cause as you have. For heaven's sake, if pity can move you, if constancy and truth have power to tempt you, if love, if adoration can affect you, give me at least some hopes that time may do what you perhaps mean never to perform. 'Twill ease my sufferings, though not quench my flame.
Your sufferings eased, your flame would soon abate, and that I would preserve, not quench.
Would you preserve it? Nourish it with favours? For that's the food it naturally requires.
Yet on that natural food it would soon surfeit, should I resolve to grant you all you would ask.
But in refusing all, you starve it. Forgive me, therefore, since my hunger rages, if I at last grow wild and, in my frenzy, force at least this from you.
You're kissing my hand.
Then let me kiss it again. And your arm. And your neck. And your lips.
Heavens, let me go.
Aye, go, aye. Where shall we go, my charming angel? Into this private arbor? Nay, let's lose no time. Moments are precious.
And lovers wild.
Oh, no.
Oh, Constant.
Come, come, my love.
Do you mind?
Oh, I'm lost.
It's getting so you can't sit in an arbor minding your own business anymore. Disgraceful goings on.
Oh, diabolic.
Come, let's go. I am shocked and appalled.
Death and furies! Who were they?
Oh, heavens, I'm out of my wits. If they know me, I'm ruined.
Don't be frightened. 10,000 to 1, they're strangers to you. It's terribly dark in here.
Did you know them?
I knew them not, so you're safe.
Well, whoever they are, I won't stay here a moment longer. There are too many eyes in this place.
Whither will you go?
Home, as if the devil were in me. Come on. Oh, Lord, where's Belinda? Belinda! Belinda!
My lady? What's the matter?
The devil's the matter. Here's a couple of women have done the most impertinent thing.
You mean the two ladies in the arbor?
No, I mean you and me, Belinda. Come on, let's away.
Well, mademoiselle, did you follow the filthy things?
Oui, madame.
And where are they now?
At home.
At Sir John's home? What, men and all?
Tous ensemble.
Oh, confidence. What, carry their fellows to their own house?
It's because the husband is not there.
No, so I believe, truly. But he shall be there, and quickly too, if I can find him out. Well, it is a prodigious thing to see when men and women get together, how they fortify one another in their impudence. But if that drunken fool, her husband, is to be found in every tavern in town, I'll send him amongst them. I'll spoil their sport.
But are you sure you don't mistake, Razor?
Madam, I saw them all go into the tavern together, and my master was so drunk he could scarce stand.
Then, gentlemen, I believe we may venture to let you stay and play at cards with us an hour or two, for they'll scarce part the tavern today.
'Tis pity they should ever part.
'Tis pity Sir John should part the company that's here, madam.
Indeed.
So long as the company that's here remembers to part itself in time. If he found you here in my chamber, there'd be a merry commotion.
Madam, we don't intend to forfeit future favours by an indiscreet usage of this. The moment you give us the signal, we shan't fail to make our retreat.
Upon those conditions, then, let us sit down to cards.
Oh, Lord, madam, I was mistook, for here's me master staggering upon you.
Into the closet.
Oh, gentlemen, Belinda, yeah. You're out.
No, after you.
Ooh, you've blood all over you.
What the plague does the woman squall for? Have you never seen a man in a pickle before?
Lord, where have you been?
I've been at Cuffs.
Oh, I fear that is not all. I hope you are not wounded.
Sound as a roach, wife.
Oh, I'm mighty glad to hear it.
You know, I think you lie.
I'm sure I've given you 1,000 tender proofs how great my care is of you. But if I can, persuade you to lie down and sleep a little.
Why? Do you think I'm drunk, yes, slut you?
Oh, heaven forbid I should, but I'm afraid you're feverish. Pray let me feel your pulse.
Stand off, be damned.
Why, I see distemper in your eyes. You're all on fire. Pray, go to bed. Let me entreat you.
Come on, give me a kiss then.
There, now, go. Ooh, he stinks like poison.
I see it goes damnably against your stomach. Never kiss me again.
Nay, you fool me.
Do it, I say.
Oh, Lord, have mercy upon me. Well, there. Now will you go?
Oh, now you shall see my generosity, wife.
Oh.
For you give me 2 kisses, I'll give you 200.
Oh, no, Lord, pray. Sir John. Oh, heavens, what a pickle I am in.
Now, you've been as dirty and as nasty as I myself. We can go big together. Well, first, I must have a cup of your cold tea, wife.
I am ruined. There's none in my closet, my dear.
I'll warrant you I'll find some, my dear.
You can't open the door. The lock's spoiled. I have been turning and turning the key this half hour to no purpose. I'll send for the smith tomorrow.
There's not a smith in Europe can open a door with more expedition than I can do. Regard!
Oh!
Sir John, good day.
Well, the devil are here. Constance and Heartfree. Oh, this is the worst cold tea I ever met with in my life. I've been turning and turning the key this past half hour to no purpose.
Oh, Lord, what'll become of us?
Gentlemen, I'm your very humble servant. I give you many thanks. I see you look after my family. I shall do all I can to return the obligation.
Sir, however so oddly this business may appear to you, you have no cause to be uneasy if you knew the truth of all things. Your lady is the most virtuous woman in the world, and nothing has passed but an innocent frolic.
Nothing else, upon my honour, sir.
Oh, you're both very civil gentlemen. And she's a very civil lady. And I'm sure that many civil things have passed between you.
Pray be gone. He's so drunk, he can't hurt us today.
I'll obey you, madam. Sir, when you are cool, you understand reason better. Then I shall take the pains to inform you. If not, I wear a sword, sir. And so, goodbye. Come along, Heartfree.
I wear a sword, sir. And what then, sir? When he comes into my house, he's been meat. He lies with me wife and dishonours me family. Begets a bastard to inherit me estate. And when I ask him for a civil account of all this, why, sir, says he, I wear a sword. I wear a sword. Yes, sir, says he, I wear a sword. What do you wear now then, wife, eh? Tell me. Oh. Huh?
You're modest and you can't? Well, I'll tell you then, you slut, you. You wear an impudent, lewd face. A damn designing heart.
A tail.
Paul?
Oh, thanks to kind heaven. He's fast for some hours. Belinda! Get back in here!
Has he fallen fast asleep?
Yes, the pig.
'Tis well he has, that we may have time to lay our story handsomely, for we must lie like the devil to bring ourselves off.
What shall we say, Belinda?
I'll tell you. It must all light upon Heartfree and me. We'll say he has courted me some time, but for reasons unknown to us, has wanted the engagement kept from Sir John, and therefore, hearing him upon the stairs, he ran into the closet, though it was against our will.
So far, so good. But what about Constant? Or is he about to secretly marry you as well?
Constant was keeping Heartfree company to boost his morale, for everyone knows Heartfree's poor at wooing.
Yes, but would he have to keep him company even in the closet?
Well, he couldn't very well have stayed out here on his own, could he? Sir John comes in and finds Constant standing there as bold as you like in your bedroom.
It might be better than finding him hiding in my closet.
Look, I'm not saying it's the best plan ever, but it's a plan, all right?
Yes, and Sir John's recollection will be scarred by the ale he has quaffed, so he may not be mindful. But will he believe Heartfree has courted you?
He would, if I married him.
I'm beholden to you, niece, but that would be carrying the jest a little too far for your own sake.
But, Auntie, I'm not jesting. I would marry him.
You know he is a younger brother and has nothing.
'Tis true, but I like him. I can't say I would live with him in a cell upon love and bread and butter, but I'd rather have the man I love and a middling state of life than that gentleman flat on his fat back there. No matter how splendid your lady's house is.
Yes, niece, you're right, though a tad cheeky to say it to me. If I'd only known then what I know now, I should not have married him for all the wealth in the West. What a fool I was, what a stupid fool. And yet, even if I had married as you will do, I still might have been as ill-used. Think on that.
Yes, that's true too. I do confess, there is always some risk. But if a man has the least spark, either of honour or good nature, he can never use a woman ill that loves him.
That's the hope, anyway.
Although, it does rather pain me to think that I will never have a fancy carriage.
Oh, yes. A fancy carriage. Being whisked to Hyde Park above a pair of horses, with a coronet upon your coach and a page to carry up your train.
Oh, stop, or I'll change my mind.
Why, we may pretend what we will, but 'tis a hard matter to live without the man we love.
My ladyship, would you like me to carry your husband to his room?
Yes, Rosa, and pray, say none of what you have seen here.
Oh, of course not, madam.
You promise?
Nothing on earth could make me speak of it, madam. And may the Lord strike me down if I'm a liar.
So, Hazor, you must tell me everything that went on in your master's house.
I will not, you hussy. I'm a man of my word and nothing can make me break it.
How about if I let you kiss me?
Still my lips are sealed.
If I let you kiss me ici?
There, and I might think about it.
And, ici?
A deal.
You have to tell me first.
I knew there'd be a catch.
Such is the coy tricksiness of my sex.
Yes, yes. Anyway, you'll never guess what. Madame's only having a fling with Constant.
Oh, I knew that already.
How come?
We saw them down at Spring Gardens.
Still, it's got to be worth a kiss.
No. I need new information.
Heartfree and Belinda?
Know all about it.
From Spring Garden again?
Indeed.
I must go down there. It sounds lively.
Come on. You must have something more juicy.
Well, now, my pretty Paul, my goldfinch, my little water wagtail, you must know that yesterday were there such terrible circumstances of cuckoldry that any man of parts may draw tickling conclusions from them?
Yes.
For we found a couple of tight, well-built gentlemen stuffed into her ladyship's closet.
Oh, le diable! Heartfree and Constant in her cupboard? Oh, but that's still not worth a kiss.
This will be then, for I, in my particular person, have discovered a most damned plot to persuade my poor master that all this hide-and-seek, this will-o'-the-wisp, has no other meaning than a Christian marriage for sweet Mrs. Belinda.
A mariage? Belinda and Heart Free? Oh, my mistress will have a fit.
And now my kiss.
Yes, your kiss. Oh, un mariage, allez, drôle.
Yeah, well, never mind speaking in French. I must kiss you or I will die.
Oh, very well. A quick one. Ici.
Oh, you said there. Oh, well, beggars can't be choosers.
Oh, what's going on here? I'll have none of this under my roof.
Curse it. It always happens to me.
Go on, go on, get out of here. Stop preying on my maid. Just because she's French, everyone thinks she's gorgeous. Go on, sir, be gone with you. So, dear Claudette, what have you managed to glean? Are my terrible suspicions unfounded? Tell me I've been wrong all along. Tell me Belinda does not intend to see Heartfree in secret.
Indeed, she does not.
Oh, thank gramercy for that.
Mais elle veut le marier.
Marry him? Marry him? I am Tish. Pull the other one right, don't you?
That is true. On the surface, it is a ruse to save the bacon of her cuckolding aunt, but it seems it is a match made of love.
Oh, how dare they? How dare she?
Oh, are you all right?
Oh, look you, mademoiselle. In short, I can't bear it. No, no, I find I can't. Therefore, something must be done to stop this impertinent wedding. If I can but defer it 24 hours, I'll make such work about town with that pert little slut's reputation, he shall as soon marry a witch.
It's good that you're adopting a mature attitude to all this, madame.
Slutty, slut, slut, slut.
Just think will come of this business.
Tis easier to think what will not become on't.
What's that?
A challenge. I know the knight too well for that. His cowardly body will always prevail upon his noble soul to be quiet.
But though he dare not challenge me to a duel, perhaps he may venture to bring a charge against his wife.
Ooh, I doubt it. For as drunk as he was, he'll remember you and I were where we should not be. I don't think him quite stupid enough to be persuaded we were in his wife's closet only to peep in her prayer book.
And therefore?
And therefore, if he charged her, he'd have to challenge you, which he won't, so he won't charge her. Just tell him if he does wrong by his lady, he will find himself unable to refuse satisfying his honour, which he would no sooner do as give up drinking claret.
Sir, here's a letter. A porter brought it.
Oh, here's instructions for us. It's from my lady and Belinda. The accident that has happened has touched our invention to the quick. We would fain get off without your help, but find that's impossible. In a word, the whole business must be thrown upon a matrimonial intrigue between your friend and mine.
A marriage? I and Belinda?
Aye, sir. It goes on. Of course, if the parties are not fond enough to quite go through with the matter, it will still work to our advantage. They need only pretend that they wanted to get married, and if they do not, we can find a suitable reason to break it up at a later time.
If we don't want to break it up?
Well, sir, what will be, will be. Lawks, it's a good plan and no mistake. How long would my blockhead have been producing this, eh, Heartfree? What? Musing man? Prithee, be cheerful. What sayest thou, friend, to this matrimonial remedy?
Why? I say it's worse than the disease.
Here's a fellow for you. There's beauty and money on her side, and love up to the ears on his, and yet...
And yet, I think I may reasonably be allowed to boggle at marrying the niece in the very moment that you're debauching the aunt.
Why, truly, there may be something in that. But have not you a good opinion enough of your own parts to believe you could keep a wife to yourself?
I should have, if I had a good opinion enough of hers to believe she could do as much by me. Prithee. Advise me in this good and evil, this life and death, this blessing and curse that is set before me. Shall I marry or die a maid?
Why, faith, Heartfree, matrimony is like an army going to engage. Love's the vanguard, which begins the attack, but they're soon cut off.
The marriage knot is the main body, which may stand firm a long time, and repentance is the rear guard, which rarely has to do much as long as the main body is intact.
Conclusion, then. You advise me to whore on as you do.
That's not concluded yet. For though marriage be a lottery in which there are wondrous many blanks, yet there is one inestimable lot in which the only heaven on earth is written. Would your kind fate but guide your hand to that? Though I were wrapped in all that luxury itself could clothe me with, I should envy you.
And justly too, for to be capable of loving one doubtless is better than to possess a thousand. But how far that capacity is in me, alas, I know not.
But would you want to know?
Oh, I would so, yes.
Then let matrimony inform you. Come, one flight of resolution carries you to the land of experience, where, in a very moderate time, you'll know the capacity of your soul and body both, or I'm mistaken.
Well, madam, what answer have you from them?
That they'll be here this moment. Oh, I fancy 'twill end in a wedding. I'm sure he's a fool if it don't. £10,000 and such a lass as you are is no contemptible offer to a younger brother.
And he might love me, of course.
Indeed he might, Belinda. But here they come. Oh. Good morrow, gentlemen. How have you slept after your adventure?
Some careful thoughts, ladies, on your accounts have kept us waking.
Pray, how does this matrimonial project relish with you?
Why, faith, Ina's storming towns does with soldiers, where the hopes of delicious plunder banishes the fear of being knocked on the head.
Yes, that's a very charming image. But do you dare take me on, sir?
Madam, you have made me so foolhardy, I dare do anything.
Then, sir, I challenge you, and matrimony is the spot where I expect you.
'Tis enough, I'll not fail. I shall take the plunge, like a blind man stepping over a cliff.
Well, gentlemen, this matter being concluded, have you got your lessons ready? Although Sir John is grown such an atheist of late, he scarce believes anything anymore.
We'll try and convince him of our faith, madam. But pray, how do you find him today?
Most lamentably morose. Chewing the cud after yesterday's discovery, of which, however, he has but a confused notion even now. When I told him of Belinda's marriage, I had no other answer but a grunt, from which you may draw what conclusion you think fit. But never mind him. You two are to be wed. What joy, what rapture. Let nothing get in your way.
A lady to see you, madam.
To see me?
No, to see Belinda.
Who is it?
I know not. Her visage is covered.
I think Belinda. Prithee, tell me, which is she?
'Tis I, madam. What is it?
I must talk to you most urgently and in private. Come hither to the corner of the room. I would address you.
Well, here's peculiar. Whatever is this woman?
I know not. Why, thank you. She has that strange hood on.
Tis most cowl-like.
Would you say cowl? I was thinking more stole.
No, I'd say it's more of a mantilla, personally.
A mantilla? What's one of those?
Oh, you know, a pelisse, a tippet.
Oh, sorry, you've lost me. The point is, who is she?
She looks rather familiar.
She holds herself rather stiffly.
I wonder what it is they're saying. Belinda looks depressed.
Heartfree, your husband, say you? 'Tis impossible!
Oh, would to kind heaven it were, but 'tis too true. Oh. And in the world there lives not such a wretch as him. I'm young, and either I have been flattered by my friends as well as my glass, or nature has been kind and generous to me. I had a fortune, too, was greater far than he could ever hope for. But I am robbed of all the rest. I am slighted and beggared both at once. I have scarcely a bare subsistence from the villain, yet dare complain to none, for he has sworn, if ever 'tis known I am his wife, he'll murder me.
The traitor!
So, when I accidentally was told he courted you, charity soon prevailed upon me to prevent your misery. And, as you see, I am still so generous, even to him, as not to suffer he should do anything for which the law might take away his life. Although, oh, how it galls me to look at him. Galls me, it does. I say galls me.
She doesn't seem too happy.
Yeah, poor Belinda looks even worse. Crikey. Hope a lady with a strange hood on doesn't come to see me as well.
Mr. Heartfree, a strangely hooded lady to see you, sir.
Me?
Hello. I must speak to you in private, sir.
Sorry, are you talking to me?
Indeed, sir. Please to step this way.
It sucks. They're all at it.
Chaos around here. My husband hasn't even arrived yet.
Who is she?
I don't know. But I'll vouch from the look on Mr. Hartfree's face, she is not the bringer of good tidings.
Mr. Hartfree, I come from my brother, the Duke of Putney. I bear a missive from him.
Missive? What sort of missive?
Just a missive, all right.
Let me see it.
No, I must read it to you.
Why have you got a hood on?
It's not a hood, it's a fillet. With a snood attached.
Yeah, whatever. Why are you wearing it?
To conceal the identity of the sender.
But you just said who the sender was. Besides, how does you wearing a fillet cum snood help conceal the identity of the sender?
Look, are you going to let me read this or what? Though I have a particular reason not to let you know who I am till I see you, yet you'll easily believe 'tis a faithful friend that gives you this advice. I have a child by Belinda.
What?
Which is now out of nurse, and I think the foundation laid for another. No rack could have tortured the story from me, but friendship has done it.
But I'm not friendly with the Duke of Putney.
But that makes his actions all the more laudable. Let me finish. I heard of your design to marry her and could not see you abused. Make use of my advice, but keep my secret.
I don't believe it!
I don't believe it!
What is it you two don't believe? Come, come, this is supposed to be a wedding. These mysterious strangers have put you out of sorts.
Come, madam, shall we send for the parson? Though I doubt there's any business for the lawyers. Young brothers have nothing to settle but their hearts. And that, I believe, my friend here has already done very faithfully.
Are you sure, sir? There are no old mortgages upon it.
If you think there are, madam, it mayn't be amiss to defer the marriage till you are sure they are paid off.
We'll defer it as long as you please,
well,
sir.
The more time we take to consider on, madam, the less apt we shall be to commit oversight. Therefore, if you please, we will put it off for just 9 months.
Guilty consciences make men cowards.
And they make women desperate.
I don't wonder you want time to resolve.
I don't wonder you are so quickly determined.
What does the fellow mean?
Does the lady mean?
Zounds, what do you both mean?
Oh, Lord, here's trouble.
Just keep a cool head.
Your humble servant, sir.
Ah, well, I'm not so sure about that. If I were half a memory of what went on in wife's chamber yesterday, I'd swear you were up to no good.
Sir John, I am very sorry my friend's indiscretion should cause so much disorder in your family.
Disorders generally come from indiscretion, sir. It is no strange thing at all.
Well, I hope you are satisfied. There was no wrong intended you.
Oh, ma'am, why would I think that?
Well, I hope Belinda's consent to marry Mr. Hartfree will convince you. For, as little as I know of amours, sir, I can assure you, one intrigue is enough to bring 4 people together without further mischief.
Well, I admit the fact that they're getting married.
We certainly are not.
You can say that again.
Why?
Because of her! The mysterious stranger whom none can recognise.
Well, Lady Fanciful?
Never!
I'd recognise that stuck-up air anywhere, strangehood or no strangehood. You can tell me, sir, by the way she holds her hands like this.
Oh, all right. I admit it. It's me.
What is the meaning of this, Lady Fanciful?
And who's your friend?
I cannot say.
I'll tell you who it is. None other than Claudette.
No! Touch not my fillet and snood. Oh, sir, there. Oh, I am revealed. How could you expose me?
I'll tell you how, because I've had enough of you.
How can you say that, sir?
Easy. I've been chasing after you for months, and all I've got is heartache. And I heard the French were easy. Dash it. It's English girls only for me from now on.
Well, hurrah for that. But what brought all this on, Lady Fanciful?
Oh, alack, I confess it. 'Tis but jealousy. Methought I was the love of the town, not Belinda.
Madam, if you would but put off your airs, you would indeed be loved.
Yes. Don't start all that again. And you can wipe that smile off your face, Lady Brute. We all know what you've been up to.
I don't know what you mean.
Stowing men away in your closet.
T'was an intrigue, lady, as we have said. A humble intrigue.
And I know, sir, that intrigues lead to procreation of more kinds than one. Mm-hmm. One intrigue begets another as soon as we get a son or a daughter.
I am very sorry, sir, to see you still seem unsatisfied with your lady. But you have received a sufficient answer already to justify both her conduct and mine. If you are still unhappy, then I dare say we can find a time and place for you to satisfy your honour.
Oh, here we go again, with swords.
Never mind the issue, it has to be swords.
If swords you want, sir, then speak.
No, go on, I do not want swords. I saw nothing untoward in my lady's cupboard. If you were there, sir, it was but to petition for your chum, Mr. Heartfree, and his now happy pursuit of Belinda.
Aye, and see how happy they are now the Lady Fanciful's deception is revealed. Yeah. Hand in hand, they stand glowing with happiness.
Oh, stop it. You'll embarrass me. Oh.
But, Sir John, you must have seen the two ladies at the Spring Garden. Did you not recognise them?
Yeah, well, I saw them, but knew them not. Just a couple of strangers. Anyway, enough. I say let's to the tavern and drink to the marriage of Heartfree and Belinda.
You'll drink to marriage?
Ah, why not? The worst that could happen is I'll die in the toasting of it. Come, good people. Let's go and drink to marriage.
To marriage!
Come, Claudia.
So, Lady Brute, when can I expect to see you again?
I know not, sir, for this should all be a lesson to us. But I might perhaps be at Spring Garden tomorrow at 4.
What can we poor females do when pressing, teasing,